Okay, so this is our second chabura of the Zman, right, of the summer. Again, a second chabura within our hakdama on really the nature of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. As we pointed out in the first year, that really although this is not the first sugya that really comes up, but really I figure that this is a proper and appropriate hakdama for really many of the topics that we're going to be doing throughout the first parak, Bittul, Tashbisu, Bidika, really all stemming from a proper understanding of the nature of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So a quick chazara of what we did last time, because we're developing two general approaches in terms of the nature of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. First approach being called the objective approach, that basically just the presence of chametz in a person's rishus triggers the violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, regardless of the person's relationship to it. Right. So according to that first approach, if chametz is in a person's rishus, the person will violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, even if he doesn't know about it, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see it, doesn't care about it, as long as it's objectively in the person's rishus, according to the first approach, you're going to violate. And we basically saw last time that this is the approach, the pashtas of the rush. I said the pashtas. Pashtas of the rush, pashtas of the she'iltos, and pashtas of the tulum. And then we transitioned to the second approach, which basically said that really Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is much more subjectively, much more subjective in nature, that again, it's only violated when the person has a particular relationship to the chametz. And we basically pointed out that within this second general approach, this general approach of subjective, we pointed out that there are different versions of it. So in the middle of developing version A, right, we call it approach 2A, which says that the type of relationship that a person needs to have towards the chametz in order to violate is a relationship of ri'iyah. The person needs to see the chametz, and only after the person sees the chametz will the person violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So the first important Rishon who really adopts this approach 2A, that Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is only violated when the person sees the chametz, is who?
Rashi,
exactly. And we already saw two Rashis along these lines. Again, the first Rashi was on Vav Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschal Afilo Mirosh Chodesh, where basically, Mirosh Hashanah, yeah. Really, Dibur Maschal, right, Afilo Mirosh Hashanah Nami. Again, where basically Rashi said, Ukishiru'u over Allah. Right, Rashi clearly says that formulates the violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh in terms of Ri'iyah. That was Rashi number one. Rashi number two, this is a quick chazara, is Rashi in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where again, in the context of the Shach V'Tarya, the Havmina of why a Chaya who's Matsnia the Chametz, why that negates, why that obviates the Isur and Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, Rashi again, in context of the Gemara, Rashi is very clear that it's the lack of Ri'iyah, the lack of seeing the Chametz, is which obviates the violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So those are the first two Rashis, and I want to quickly do two more Rashis, which really, again, further prove that the Shitas Rashi is that the violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is triggered by Ri'iyah. Okay. So this brings us to the Rashi in Bamatzia Daf Mem Beis. Anyone have a Bamatzia on them? Okay. So anyone can, through any technological means, bring up a Bamatzia. So basically, just the context of the Gemara Bamatzia is, the context of the Gemara there is discussing a Shomer. Right, someone who's watching kesef, is someone who's watching money for someone else, and the Gemara basically says that the way to be shomer kesef is by hiding in the ground. So the Gemara there is discussing, okay, so if we find a shmir of the karka, how is it going to carry? Let's compare it to a different type of, case of an object being buried underground. And the Gemara brings up the case of chametz shenafla alav mapolas, which is a Gemara, which is really a Mishnah in Psachim, Daf Lamed Aleph on this. What's the din, Yehuda Dov, about chametz shenafla alav mapolas?
You're not five.
Right, you're not over Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Right, which is a very important Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph on this, which basically says the chametz, which is buried under a mound of rubble, does not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So for our topic, it would be very important to try to figure out, why is that? Is it because you don't see it? Is it because you lack access to it? So that's going to be a very big question. And in order to uncover Rashi's perspective on the tour of Chametz Shenafla Alav Mapolas, the Gemara Bamatzia is very important. Anyone have it? Starting with the Gemara, when it says, Amar Leih Rav Acha B'Rei Rav Yosef, anyone have it?
Yeah.
Who says yeah?
Yeah.
Daniel, please go for it.
So they're drawing a parallel case for a case of chametz that fell into rubble on it, whatever.
Exactly.
It's as if it was mevoar.
Right, and Rashi on the spot says, Hari kemevoar, it's as if it's destroyed, meaning there's no violation of Bayer Bayamatse for such chametz. You don't need the araisa, you do not need bittel.
So anything that a caleb can't search for and find, it qualifies.
Right, exactly. Basically, the Rashbag qualifies the Petur and says the only time the Psak of Hari HaKembavur applies is only when it's buried deep enough that a caleb, that a dog, can't find it. We'll see the importance of that. So continues the Gemara.
So
now the Gemara is going to say, does that same shiur of Gimel Tfachim apply to a shomer of Kesef, that he also has to bury the Kesef that he's watching three Tfachim deep?
Dig three Tfachim deep for the Kesef also or not? So Amalei Hasam Mishum Richa, the case of Kelev by the Chametz, no, it needs to be a three Tfachim deep because we want to make sure that the Kelev doesn't smell it.
Exactly, it doesn't smell the Chametz.
Right.
There, because of the reach, because of the odor, the smell of the chametz, therefore you need three tefachim there, but...
We're just trying to make sure that we don't see the kesef.
Exactly. Exactly. Kesef doesn't have any odor, so therefore as long as you cover it, right, lo be'inan shlosha tefachim. So far, you know, nothing crazy is coming out of the Gemara, but a very important Rashi on the spot. You see, Dibra Matzchil Mishim Reicha. It's actually not bolded, but it's very important. Rashi there says, you see it?
Yeah, so the caleb mireach v'chol b'zach v'ra'ah, so that the caleb would smell it and go find it. Research for it. Hari hu motziu v'nira. And then he'll find it and we'll see the chametz.
Oh, very important. Right, so Rashi says, v'hari hu motziu, the caleb is going to bring out the chametz. And just structurally, what Rashi is saying is that once the caleb brings the chametz out of the rubble, so then the heter of nafla mapolas will be removed. But now the way Rashi describes the way that Heter is undermined is going to be very telling in terms of what the Heter was. If the Heter was based on the fact it was inaccessible, it was not Matsui, so then Rashi should have said, Hari hu motzio, and now it's Matsui. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Hari hu motzio, vinira. Now that the Kelav brings out the Chametz, the reason why the Heter is now undermined is because now it's Nira, now it can be seen. Very much Rashi Lishitasa focusing that the violation of Bayir Abayimatze is triggered by Yiriyah, and therefore Rashi describes, he characterizes the undermining of the heter of Chametz Shenafala Mapolas by the fact that once it's brought out, now it's seen, telling us that the heter of Chametz Shenafala Mapolas is the fact that it wasn't seen. Again, Rashi Lishitasa formulating the violation of Bayir Abayimatze in terms of Ri'iyah. That's the third Rashi, which is very telling and very much Lashitaso. Any questions about that, Raya? Hello?
Well, can't it mean that like it has the potential to be seen because of the fact that he could dig it up and make it seen?
So Vahari Hu Motsio Vinira means he's gonna bring it out and it is seen.
Seen. But like meaning like not necessarily that you saw it, the fact that it has the potential to dig it up and it will be and it'll have the potential to be seen.
Okay. I guess I'll say this. If this is the only Rashi that you had, you might have been matzchil like that. I'm saying in light of all the Rashis together, I think I would take this kapashas ben nira, and it will be seen by the person. That's what I would say. Okay, so now the fourth and final Rashi, if everyone can now turn within their Gemaras, to Daf Tzadihe. It's a very important Gemara. Again, I only had you see, you know, one or two lines of this Gemara because the broader context of the Gemara is pretty complicated, a lot of different drushas, which are really not nogea to us right now. The most important line that I've had you see is the Gemara, which is basically the line in the Gemara, which basically characterizes the lav in Abayi Rabbi Matze as lav in Hanitzik Le'ese to Tashbisu, which is a very, very important both for the nature of Abayi Rabbi Matze and for the nature of Tashbisu, which will be one of our topics later on in the summer. So let's just see the Gemara itself. It's five lines up. Nir, what do you mind going for? Bepirtei Mai? Right, the Pirtor, and in terms of the Prat, this is just the details of the Joshua, we're not getting it right. My come and my, like, what is being excluded here? Again, the details don't really matter for us right now. Exactly, right. So the Lam and Lo Yerai V'lo Yimot, say why?
The Dami, yeah.
Right? Because these lav in a Bayera, Bayamatze are similar in context to the lav of Nosar, in that both of them are lav in Hanitak Laese. Right? The high, right, referring to Bayera, Bayamatze, right, has a Ptur Malkus to have a lav Shinitak Laese. The high and Nosar is also in a loket to have a lav Shinitak Laese. So again, for our purposes, again, the broader context of the Gemara is not really nogea to us at the moment. Again, very, very crucial Gemara. Again, you see it's actually controversial. Not everyone's goreis this. But it's a very important Gemara which says that the asei of Tashbisu is menatek the lavin of Bayera Bayamatze. Very important, which has major repercussions. But for our purposes right now, what I want to focus on is Rashi's formulation in Dimaraskha Velo Gira. Elad, would you mind reading for us? Right, the bottom line, Rashi? Ooh, right, below Yira, eh? The Imnira, right, again, what Rashi is trying to describe is how Bayera Bayamatze is Nituk La'aseya Tashbisu, right? And the construct of a lav Nituk La'aseya is that if you violate the lav, then the asay comes to be Matakin the lav. So Rashi here is describing that when you violate Bayera Bayamatze, so then Tashbisu, the Chiv to destroy the Chametz, kicks in. But how does Rashi describe the violation of Bayera? A lot again, the first two words. Right, if it is seen, so Rashi, again, very much L'shitaso, characterizes the violation of Bayera Bayamatze as, with the words of Im Nira, if it is seen, then the Aseh of Tashbisu kicks in. And then Rashi continues, right, continue. Right, so the Aseh of Tashbisu really is applicable throughout the Moed. But again, for our purposes, it's very important, very much, again, this is the fourth Rashi, which when characterizing the violation of Bayera Bayamatze, focuses on Re'iyah. So I was very excited when I saw this. Again, Rashi, yet again, describing the violation of Bayera Bayamatze in terms of Re'iyah. So again, this is our fourth Rashi, all the Shitaso adopting this approach 2A, again, that the number one, Bayera Bayamatze is subjective, but the type of subjective relationship the person needs to have with the chametz in order to violate is a relationship of re'iyah. Once he sees the chametz, then he's going to violate, implication being that even if he knows about the chametz, but he doesn't see it, he's not going to violate. Clear? Any questions? No? Okay. So far, right, the first rishon which we have within this approach 2A, that's subjective along the lines of re'iyah, is Rashi. There's one other Rishon who seems to also formulate Bayera Bayamatze in these terms. Anyone see, again, if you ever take out their source sheet, the Or Zaruah. Again, the Or Zaruah is one of the Makoros I have on the back of the Makor sheet. Oh. What? That's you didn't bring it?
No, I didn't bring it.
Okay, it's okay. Anybody have the Or Zaruah? Anyone remember the context of the Or Zaruah? He's trying to answer a certain question. Anyone remember what's bothering? Yeah, you know?
Why would you do that?
Why would you bedika by chametz if we don't do it where?
No,
by Nosar, exactly. Right. This is one of the big questions that the Rishonim address in the context of bedika, which is going to be our next topic. Exactly. Why do you have the discrepancy? Why do you only find a chovas bedika in the context of chametz? Well, you don't have a chovas bedika when it comes to something like Nosar, even though Nosar is also chai v'krisus. So what's the difference? So in short, outside, Yair, what's the Or Zaruah? He's quoting Rabbeinu Yaakov, which likely is Rabbeinu Tam. So, that's okay. Anybody, Yaakov? What's the basic answer of Rabbeinu Tam?
Because the Bayamatze said, the whole time when you see it, you're over, called Shah, as opposed to Nosar, it's a one-time thing. You left it over, now it's left over.
Okay. Excellent. Right, so the Rabbeinu Tam's basic answer to his question, again, which is not our issue, the basic answer is that the chilek between Bayar Bayamatze and the lav of Nosar is that the lav of Nosar is a one-time violation, while Bayera Bayamatze is a constant violation. Every second is another violation. And therefore, it's more chamar, and therefore there's a chovas abedika. That's a pashas. But for our purposes, the reason why I'm focusing on it right now, is the way in which Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam, formulates the constant violation of Bayera Bayamatze. How does he do it? How does you violate kol shah that what? Exactly. Kol shah shiro eyu. Right? If you see the first line, I don't have it out. Chesky, would you mind just reading the first line?
Rabbi Rabbeinu Yaakov, tactically.
All right, so he answered the following question.
The chametz chomer alav or alav the bayera bayamatze
Oh, shira'eyu. Right? So what is he saying? Right, there's an added chumrah by Bayer Bayer Matzeh that you violate kol shah, that what? That you see it. So again, along the lines of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson, seems to similarly formulate the violation of Bayer Bayer Matzeh in terms of ri'iyah. So again, while the context of the Or Zeruah is not our topic, he's trying to answer a different question. A lot of times, sometimes from a formulation of a Rishon in a different inyan, a lot of times it could be telling in terms of the nature of a particular din. So the perfect example, he's trying to answer a certain question, and the main thrust of his answer is the chilik between a constant violation of Bayer Bayer Matzeh and the single one-time violation of Noser. But yet, the way in which Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam, formulates the violation of Bayer Bayer Matzeh, he formulates it in terms of Re'iyah, again, implying that similarly to Rashi, he thinks that the trigger for the violation of Bayer Bayer Matzeh is a subjective relationship through a re'iyah of the chametz. Yeah, you know.
He says kol shah shero eiv, not after he sees it. It seems he's saying like when he sees it.
Meaning any second that he's right. There's a piece of chametz in front of me. Any second that I'm continually seeing it.
So when I look away, I'm not over.
You're saying. I'm assuming that once you see it and it's become in your conscience in terms of your re'iyah, that's an interesting question. Let's say, let's say you're looking at it for 10 minutes, then you turn away. Are you only violating for those 10 minutes? That's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure. It could be that once you see it, that's going to trigger it, but it could be that no. It relates to kol shah shera'eyu. Literally, I guess the literal interpretation is that only kol zman, every second that you're looking at it, you violate, otherwise you're not. That's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, Yoni.
Yeah, it sounds like Rashi above and Bez, that's really that even after you see it and you look away,
because
that's all you have to do
is
pass on it.
One more time, you're saying Rashi, the Dai to LA, Dirbansal Dai to LA? Say again, where are you being the Dai from?
Doesn't sound like maybe even if you're not looking at it, but once you see it, that's the way that your Das about points.
So where are you getting that from specifically?
He says how he's concerned about that your mind will be on the close field.
Okay, meaning there, are you coming off the Ramban's interpretation of Rashi? We'll get back to this Rashi. It's very important because I think
also
it's very important. The Ramban has a very specific. Who did I talk to about this? I think it was Tzvi, right? The Ramban has a particular interpretation of this Rashi, which I think is based on he omits one word in this Rashi. We'll get back to this Rashi. I think we'll do it tomorrow night. So let's come back to it then. I'll just hold off for now. You'll see what I'm talking about next time. Okay, so Adkan is what we'll call it approach 2A. Again, the koveya for Bayer Bayer Matzeh is Ri'ya. I'd like to now move on to say the second version of the subjective approach, which says that no, you don't need Ri'ya. As long as you have Yediya, as long as the person has knowledge, has awareness of the Chametz, leaving that a little vague, as we'll see, as long as the person has Yediya of the Chametz, he's going to violate Bayer Matzeh. So we're going to see a number of Rishonim who adopt this approach, and we're going to see that there are even different nuances within this approach of what type of Yediyah is required to trigger Bayer Matzeh. So first we're going to start off by quoting a number of Mefarshim who basically clearly adopt the general approach of Yediyah, not taking a stand on the nuance, and then we're going to raise the nuance question of what the Geder of Yediyah is, and we'll bring Rishonim specific Rishonim who align with each side. So starting off with the Rishonim who just generally adopt the Yediyah approach, we're starting off with the Rambam. Anyone have a Rambam there? Parah Gimel Halacha Ches. The very important Rambam, the way he formulates, seems to be, reformulating the Gemara on Vav and Beis. Don't have a Gemara open? Rambam open? But yeah. Any means to have access to the Rishonim is fine. Raise your hand. Anyone? Yalla, go for it. Stop there, right? So if you didn't, what?
If you remember how to tell your family before the
sixth hour. Exactly. Before the sixth hour.
And the sixth hour and on, you found Chamech Sheyada to Allah. Sheyavili Bo, Shlacho, Bishasavir, Velo, Biaro.
Okay, so stop there. Right? So what type of chametz does he say you're going to violate? Chametz shahaya daito olav, v'haya belibo, v'shacho b'shasa bir. What does that mean?
You knew better at some point, but you forgot.
Exactly. Why do you think the Rambam specifically goes out of his way to say that the chametz that's violated by Rabbi Matzah is chametz you originally had yediyah on? What's the idea, Alad?
That rumbles in order to over the Bagler Roma, so you have to know about the Chametz.
Exactly. So it seems like the Rambam is trying to justify the violation of Bayer by Matzei Lamafreya, right? After you find it, why you would have been over even Lamafreya before you found it? So the Rambam says the only way you're going to violate Lamafreya is if you originally had yediyah, if you originally had knowledge of the Chametz, and then you happen to have forgotten it. So again, it's very clear, the fact that the Rambam goes out of his way to say you originally had knowledge of the Chametz, is the Rambam's way of saying the only way you're going to violate Bayer Rabbi Matzah is if you originally had yediyah of the Chametz, and you happen to have forgotten it. And that's why you didn't pick it up during your Bedikah. In the Magen Avraham, in Taf Lama Dalad, Sif Katan Hay, the Magen Avraham had, you see, makes this diuk exactly, brings down this Rambam and says the fact that the Rambam goes out of his way to say that you originally knew about the Chametz tells you, indicates that the Shitas HaRambam is that that Yediyah is a prerequisite of Bayer Rabbi Matzei, and therefore you're not going to violate Bayer Rabbi Matzei Lema Freya if not for the fact that you originally had Yediyah, you originally had awareness of that Chametz in your Rishus. But the one thing that's not clear is what type of Yediyah the Rambam requires. The only thing that's clear in the Rambam is that he generally requires a yediyah. It's not clear what type of yediyah it requires, whether you need to know the specific location of it, or just the general knowledge that it's in your rishos, which we'll discuss in just a moment. Yes, Yehuda.
It's the Rambam holds that I'm over in Bayer Rabbi Matzah. I knew before Pesach that there was coming.
Yeah, meaning if, let's say, on Yud Gimel, right, you bought an Entenmann's, a box of Entenmann's donuts. You knew you bought it, and you put it in the corner of your house. But then Leil Yedalad, when you're doing Bedikah, you forgot that you put Chametz in that. And then you find that same box on Pesach. So Rambam says, once you find it on the second day of Pesach, you're still going to violate Lemafreya because you originally had Yediyah, you originally had knowledge of that piece of Chametz. Implication of the Rambam is that if you didn't know about that Chametz, someone brought that Chametz into your Rishus, so you never had knowledge of that Chametz, so then you wouldn't violate Lemafreya, you'd only violate, right, from the time of the Metziah, from the time that you found it, Mikan Olab.
How do we know he's talking about Lemafreya?
I think, if you look carefully at the Rambam, he says, Hare Ze Avar. Sounds like you violated in the past. If it was just Mikan Olab, it would be Hare Ze Over, in the present, and I'll tell you in a second. And number one, if it was in the present, so once you find it, you clearly know about it. Right? So there'd be no reason to discuss the fact that you originally knew it, meaning the original knowledge is only shayach to the original time. I mean, once you find it and you know about it and you see it, there's no reason, there's no connection to your original knowledge. Yes, sorry, Tzvi.
And there is a gear over.
Oh, there is?
I
really, I didn't notice that. That's interesting. So I was coming off the our gear of Avar. The only problem with the other version, I have to look into that, is if it's all about the present, Mikan Labat, so then right now that you find it, you know about it and you see it. So
you're still over the
Mafia. Oh, okay. Meaning, also, I mean, you're agreeing that the Rambam Misvara has to be justifying.
Rambam.
What?
Well, your Rambam said the Rambam.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Yoni and Yudhu.
The Rambam would say that if you just remember it, but you don't find it, then you're not over it?
I would think that you would be over in that case.
You just remember.
I think in this case, the way, what triggers your memory is the fact that you, is the Messiah. That's what it sounds like. Yeah,
it just seems that the Rambam is talking about a slightly different case from the fact that he says Mishishos Omala Matzah Chametz, right? That you only knew you had it once it was past the 6 hours. I believe it was Shavu B'Shasavir, and then you forgot it again once it
no,
was.
I think he's saying he's talking about the past, right? You found it Mishishos Omala Chametz Shahayat, which in the past you originally knew about, right? It was in your mind. It was in your heart. V'shachol b'shas abir, and you had forgotten about it, b'shas bir, which refers to the bedika on Leil Yudalad. That's the way I'm interpreting it.
Okay.
Yes, Yaakov.
The subjective approach by Rabbi Matzei is completely totally in the having some kind of connection to the Chametz. Mm-hmm. When you know about it, you have the connection.
Yeah.
Once you forget about it, I feel the connection is broken. I don't know how you go live.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So that's a great point. The assumption of the Rambam is that once you know about a piece of Chametz, that connects you to the Chametz and it's not broken. You're right. 100 is a greater ara. You could have said that within the Yediyah approach, right, exactly like Yaakov said, within the Yediyah approach, you're only going to be over Kol Zman is actually parallel to the question, what was that, Yehuda asked, about the Hariz Kol Zman Shiror Eyu within the Rabbeinu Yaakov. Right, it's very parallel. Right, you're basically, Was that, you asked, let's say you see it, and then you it's very parallel to here, the Rambam is in the form of Yediyah, where you knew about it, you forgot about it, which is parallel to turning away from the Chametz, but yet, in this case, and this may be subconsciously why I was, didn't want to just take the pashas of saying that, yeah, when you turn away, that breaks the connection, because over here in the Yediyah approach, once you have that Yediyah, once you have that connection, it's not broken. Even if you forget it. But you're right, Misvara, you could have said that, Imkvar, Uskvar. Once you adopt the Yediyah approach that you need to have that subjective connection, maybe it's only Kol Zman that you actually have that connection in the form of Yediyah. 100%, but the Rambam obviously doesn't hold that way. It would be fascinating if we found other Rishonim within the Yediyah approach who argued at that point. That would be very interesting. I have to look into that. Yeah.
It seems that according to your approach, the Rambam requires both this prior connection and finding it.
No. What I'm trying to say is that the prior connection is only needed to justify the violation of Mafreya.
But it says
once you find it, you have connection based on your finding it.
But it says Rambam seems to be talking about specifically matzah, right? When you found it during the Pesach, and yet also the fact.
Yeah, well, because Gishwain told us, remember the context of the Rambam is trying to teach the halacha of when you find chametz achar zman yisuro and you can't do bittul anymore. What do you do? So the Rambam Gedarko is bundling a bunch of dinim in this halacha. But I'm saying he specifically teaches the case where you knew about it originally. I'm suggesting, and really not me, it's really the Magen Avraham, it makes his diak, to tell you that, to justify why would you be over Lamafreya, why would you be over for the time period before you actually found it, is because you originally had a Yediyah. That's what he's trying to justify with that case. Yes.
She says a Rambam, if you couldn't find, if you remember that you had chametz in your house, but you couldn't remember where it was,
okay, good. As I said, we're going to present those two sub options, as we'll call it, in terms of whether within the Yediyah approach, whether you need to know the specific location or just the general existence of the chametz in your rishus. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring down Rishonim, whose Lushonos clearly take a side on that. I don't think it's clear in the Rambam either way.
I didn't see
it's
out to the Rambam.
Exactly. I totally agree. That's why I'm bringing the Rambam, as we'll see the Taz right now, before I bring down that further, Hakira, that further nuance, because I don't think it's clear within the Rambam or the Taz, which of these two options is in Yediyah. Yes, Asher.
There's no that hour about Yediyah, when you forget.
Yeah.
Towards the Edus, there's an interesting Quran about essentially that point,
yeah,
where he talks about someone who knew Edus and forgot. But he's capable of remembering it of his own accord.
Uh-huh.
The Ran says in that situation, if you were to say Shkoshin Ani Yodei Lecha Edus, it would technically be Sheker, because on some level he knows
it's like,
it.
Uh-huh, so it's accessible.
Right, so maybe in terms of this too,
exactly, and that creates that Seiruf. Right. And the fact that in the recesses of his mind, if you really thought about it, if you really, which totally makes sense a lot of times in life, you're thinking about where your chametz is. But like if you actually took a step back, and thought about it, I feel like it's like a mussar or also to be taken in a different direction, but if you took a step back and like thought about where your chametz was, you'd be able to have a recall of that. So that'd be another way to justify, really, you do need that constant connection, but the fact that it's in the recesses of your mind, that suffices to connect you. Thank you, Asher.
That's subjective on its own. Did people have different levels of memory capability?
Okay, true. But I think Asher is pointing out is that, meaning, one could claim that, let's say, in the typical case, if the person would take a step back and think about where his chametz is or whether he has chametz in his rishus, he would be able to recall that. Again, you're asking a question. Well, let's say the person can't remember that. So then Asher's approach wouldn't work. Okay, so then within Yediyah, the Stam Yediyah, first we have the Rambam, and now we have the Taz. Actually, in the Taz, again, this is Tav Lamed Dalet Siv Katan Gimel, which is actually fascinating. He interprets the tour like this as well, which is fascinating because as we pointed out last time, the tour is lashon. When the tour justifies the takana of a bodik tzarach shivatel, the tour seems to say the reason why you need to do bittel after bedika is why. Anyone remember what was the tour's lashon? Yeah. Exactly, because maybe there's going to be chametz in your rishus which you didn't find. Right, there's no better formulation of the objective approach than that. He's basically saying you need to prevent the violation of Bayar Bayamatse on chametz, which you're not going to find. The Taz quotes that tour and basically says misvara. It doesn't make any sense, even though the lashon of the tour sounds like he's adopting the objective approach that you're going to violate by Rabbi Matzei, even if you don't find it, even if you don't know about it, you don't see it. The Taz quotes it, right? And he says, "Ein pirush shiyavur." Right, he quotes the Torah and he says, "Ein pirusho." Don't interpret the Torah kipashas shiyavur al mashlo yada, that you're going to violate by Rabbi Matzei on that which you don't know. Imlo yivato, if not for the bittel. Ela yimsa oso akagach, unless you, right? Imlo yivatel. Ela yimsa oso akagach. Right? Dishkios miyavin. Basically, because it doesn't make sense to say that. So the Taz reinterprets the Torah and says, it doesn't make sense misvara to interpret the Torah as saying the objective approach. That you're going to violate by Rabbi Matzei without knowing it. So the Taz then says, so it must be misvara that the Torah really means, right, that you only violate if you find it, if you know about it. Which is fascinating because other achronim, let's say, who interpret, let's say, the Rush, which we'll get to in just a moment, in just a few moments, right, they have diukim in the Rush to say, no, the Rush, even though he sounds like the objective approach, really he requires yediyah, we'll get to it. At least they have diukim in the Rush to, you know, support their approach. But the Taz doesn't bring any rayos from the Lashon of the Torah because there aren't any rayos from the Lashon of the Torah. But he says, Misvara, it doesn't make any sense to adopt the objective approach to Rabbi Matzei. It doesn't make any sense to say that you violate Rabbi Matzei without having any knowledge or without seeing it. And therefore, the Torah is lavdavka. The Torah must really adopt the Adiyah approach that you're only going to violate if you know about it. And just, it's just like an important nekuda to point out that the Taz is willing to reinterpret the Torah. Even though there's no diuk in the Torah like his interpretation, it's just misvara, the Taz is so convinced against the objective approach that he's even willing to interpret the Torah in line with the Yediyah approach, even though there's no evidence within the Torah itself. So again, within the Yediyah approach, first we have the Rambam, who gives the example where he originally knew about it, and then we have the Taz, b'shem the Torah, where the Taz is willing to reinterpret the Torah against the pashas of the Torah to align with his approach of Yediyah. Okay, so now within the Yediyah approach, as we alluded to before, we're going to see that there are different versions of Yediyah. What type of Yediyah, what type of awareness, what type of knowledge do you require in order to violate? So what are the two options? Daniel, you referenced them before.
Knowing where it is or not knowing where it is.
Exactly. So option number one is that you need to have a specific Yediyah of the exact location of the chametz. According to this first version, right? According to this first version of the Yediyah, right? Even if you know that chametz is in your rishus, but you don't know where it is, you're not going to violate. And we'll see that's going to be the approach of Tosos and Chavalef. The other version of the Yediyah approach, which most people accept, is that now, once you're accepting the Yediyah approach, it suffices to know that there is chametz in your rishus, even if you don't know exactly where it is. Those are the two different versions of the approach. And now let's take a look at a number of Rishonim and Mefarshim who adopt either of these versions. So let's start with Tosas Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph, who's going to accept the first version, which says that within the Yediyah approach, you need a specific Yediyah of the Chametz's location. So again, if everyone can turn to Daf Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph. Right, Tosas is commenting on the first line of the three chusas, right? Yesterday, Rashi, we focused on Rashi, who was focused on the second line, where here the Gemara said that, right, the fact that the chaya, right, if there's a heter of feeding chametz to a chaya, and the first line of the Gemara says there's a kula to the fact that the chaya is going to hide the chametz. And Tosos is bothered by why is it kula that the chaya is going to hide the chametz. Shouldn't that violate a certain Isser? Which Isser should that violate, according to Tosas' question? Exactly, the Isser of Bayatim. Arya, would you mind reading the beginning of Tosas? Dir Maspa V'iyash Mi'ina? Right, so what's the implicit kasha? Right, why is it mutter, according to the Sa'd, to give it in front of the Chai who's going to bury it? What do you mean? There's an explicit Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Beis, which we'll get to later, which says that you're not allowed to bury your chametz. If you bury your chametz, you're going to be over the Isser of Bayatman, which is really just a take on the Isser of Lo Yimatze. Just, that's important to know. So what does he answer? No, the Bayatman. Oh, so you read that fast, but yeah.
It's not known where it is.
Right? He says the source, the makur of the Isser of Bayatman is the Pasuk of Lo Yimatze. The Ein Zeh Matzur, this is not considered Matzur, it's not considered accessible. Read that line again. Kevan She'ein Yadua. Exactly where it is. So it's very clear from Tosas that his version, number one, it's clear that he's saying that Lo Yimatze is not violated unless you know about it. But the way he formulates the Yediya is to know exactly where it is. To know Hichan Hu, where it is. Important Kuda number one. So again, Tosas and Chafalaf is the one within the Yediya approach who accepts the version that it's the you have to know the specific location. But let's read a couple more lines because it's an important another diyuk to be made. So what's the raya of Tosas that you're only over Mishas Yediya Bahala? Oh, that's right. So that's the Gemara in Vav. So what was the question in the Gemara? And as we pointed out yesterday, but the fact that the Gemara says that you only need a bittel after you find it, the implication is the only issue of Bar Bai Matzeh is Mishas Mitzia Ve'elach. Right? If there's a problem, Lema Freya, so then it wouldn't seemingly help to do a bittel Mishas Mitzia. That wouldn't cover the Mefreya time period. So Tosa says, like other Mefarshim, the Gemara's question of Chimishkachasle the Batle, the Gemara's suggestion that you only need to do Bittel after the Shas Mitziah proves that you only violate Bayer or Bayer Matze after the Mitziah, which Tosa said brings the Raya to the Yediyah approach. But it's a very important one more line. Mashma.
The Chumachana of the Mishkachas
are low
over at the
Raya.
So you're not
over at Raya. Okay, good. Do you notice that he just switched? Originally, he was talking about which lav? Bayatzman, which comes from what? Lo Yimatze. And then he just silently transitions to what? Lo Yira. So as I pointed out last time, most Rishonim assume that there's an equation between Lo Yira and Lo Yimatze. And this Tosos is a great example, right? Yehuda Dov asks us a question, and the answer is exactly this, right? Tosos, who silently transitions between talking about the beginning, lo yimatze, and then just interchanges that with lo yira, clearly adopts the common approach that there's an equation between lo yira and between the lavin of ba yira and ba yimatze, and the parameters of one are really the parameters of the other. And therefore, it clearly emerges from Tosos that this qualification of yediyah and of the variety of the yediyah, the specific location, not only qualifies lo yimatze, but also qualifies lo yira, which is a very important nekuda that again minastam most rishonim assume an equation between ba yira and ba yimatze. Yes, Dan.
Is the issue of about a yatzman, does that come from knowing, having access to chametz whatever, or does it come from the fact that I know factually that there is chametz in my rishos right now?
One more time.
If I the over about the issue of ba yatzman. If I go and hide something in a specific location,
let's say you don't have access to it, you're asking?
Meaning, I hide in a location so I can't see it. Okay, but so is the problem with it that I can go find it wherever I want because I know where it is, or is the problem that in my rishos I know factually right now I have plummets?
Yeah, I'm saying the difference between those two options is in a case where you know where it is but you don't have access to it, no?
Right, that's what bothered me about Tosos. If
meaning Tosos seems to formulate it in terms of Matsui, it being accessible, and therefore it seems like he says you need to know the specific location of the chametz because that's what makes it accessible.
Does everyone agree with that?
With the fact you need to know the specific location? No. No. Well, again, we're going to see a number of Rishonim who say it suffice to know that it's in your Rishus, even if you don't know where it is.
It just bothers me the concept that you can just get to your Chaya and your Chaya will hide it. You don't have any problem because you aren't going to know where it is. But like, I know exactly the fact that I have...
No, but you don't know where it is. It's inaccessible.
I know there's...
But again, that's very important. Tosas is holding that the type of subjective connection to the Chametz, which you need to violate by Rabbi Matzei, it doesn't suffice to know that there is Chametz in your Rishus. You have to have, your connection has to be so strong that you know exactly where it is that you'd have access to it if you wanted to. Which is a very important clue. Again, we're going to see, most Rishonim disagree. Most Rishonim within the Yediyah approach think that no, in general Yediyah of Chametz and Yerushas suffices, but Tosos, I think, the only one that I could find, says no, you need to know exactly where it is. Yes, Yura?
So if it's not accessible, you know where it is,
what's
it in?
Oh, so that's there's a whole other sugya on Davav about there could be an exemption of Matzoi. which is its own topic, about whether accessibility on its own is a pitur. So again, from Tosos, it's not clear. It seems from Tosos, as long as you know exactly where it is, you're going to violate. But again, you'd have to look at the Gemara and Davav Amin Aleph for the whole sugi there about a pitur of a potential pitur of matsui, of inaccessibility being a potential pitur. Again, yeah.
I already say that it seems from Joseph that Matsuri is not a pitur.
All I'm saying, because the question is, does he bring down the factor of Matsuri just? The question, I guess it's not clear. But what, as I was asking, you know, Daniel. I mean, that's a case where you know exactly where it is, but it's not Matsuri. I'm not sure. Is Tosas just saying the Inza Matsuri is a way of defining Yediyas, meaning Heichan Hu? Or is it, no, you really need that, the factor of accessibility, the factor of Matsui, in addition to knowing where it is. That I'm not 100% sure about.
What was the first sound?
The first sound is that the Lashon of Yimatse, of Matsui, tells you that the type of Yediya you need is the Yediya of Heichan Hu, exactly where it is. So the Lashon of Matsui is just to tell you, it's just to be Magdir, the type of Yediya you need. But, and therefore, the idea is the idea of to know exactly where it is, which generally also results in it being matsui. But it's possible that once you have that type of idea heichan hu, you don't necessarily need the additional factor of it being matsui. That's what I'm clarifying. Yeah,
is there any difference between accessibility and potential to be found?
No, those two things are the same. But there's a difference between knowing exactly where it is, and it being and knowing where it is and it being accessible.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can only see that it's subjective. You can't see that it's Yediyah.
100%.
Could be that
the Riyah
is enough or something.
Yeah. Tosos, that's a great point. Tosos is only bringing a Riyah to the general concept of Yediyah. Tosos assumes that once that's the case, the gedder of Yediyah is to know exactly where it is from the Lashon of Lo Yimatze. But in Akhnavi, Tosos' Riyah only tells us half of the chiddush. Only tells us that you violate only with Yediyah. It doesn't tell us the second part, that the type of Yediyah that you need is to know the exact location. 100%. 100%. But it shows you what Tosas is really fighting against is the Lamafraya option, not the other version of Yediyah.
What do you mean?
Meaning, in Tosas' mind, is that the two options in the Sugya are the objective approach or Yediyah. He happens to define Yediyah in a certain way, but he's not even like, it's not even on his conscience, you know, that there are two different versions of that. All he wants to prove is to negate the objective approach. So, in short, always bring a raya to, you're in a phenomenon, always bring a raya to is bring a raya against the lamafraya, against the objective approach, to the fact that it only applies after you have Yediyah. The second nekuda that he defines Yediyah in terms of specific location, that's a different nekuda which he doesn't have a raya for. His only raya is from the Lashon of Lo Yimatze. I thought I saw another hand. Yes, you know?
Why is it not approved to the whole Yediyah throughout?
Because in that case, you happen to have all types of Yediyah, but you don't know that that's the only type of Yediyah you need. Meaning, in the case where you find it, it's there. But you don't know that the only type of Yediyah...
Are you saying the Gemara's giving an example?
Yeah, I mean, that's just an example of a Yediyah. It doesn't mean... Like the other Rishonim who don't say you need this, still, that's still they're giving me the Raya. Okay. Let's get this in. Oh. But the other version, as we referenced before, the other version of the Yediyah is not the specific Yediyah of the location like Tosa says, but the general Yediyah that there is Chametz in Yerushas. I would say most Mefarshim who adopt the Yediyah approach adopt this version. To say that as long as you know that there is Chametz in your Rishus, you're going to violate even if you don't know the specific location of the Chametz. Anyone have the Tos Rebbeinu Peretz on them? So if you see the Tos Rebbeinu Peretz on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, it's always very important whenever you're looking at multiple Bali Tosos. And even a lot of times it'll appear that like the different Bali Tosos are saying the same thing, but it's always very important to pay careful attention to the various Lashonos. A lot of times each Bali Tosos will have a different formulation, which is telling because there could be subtle machloksim between the different Bali Tosos. So this is a perfect example of this, where Tosos, when he asks the question about Yatsman and answers by saying, oh, right, there's no violation because you don't know where it is. We pointed out that Tosos Madaf formulates it in the idea in terms of the specific location. Here, Tos Rebbeinu Peretz asks the same question, basically gives the same answer, but has a different formulation of what type of Yediyah is required. Anyone have the Tos Rebbeinu Peretz in front of them? Yeah, please. Kitsi? Sorry, do your mouths? Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, start with Im Tomar.
Okay. The Im Tomar, Mikoma, from over Mishum by Yasmin. So, same question.
Exactly, right. Why? And when you give it to the Chayu who hides it, why aren't you violating the Isra by Yasmin? Oh. So, what's his formulation? Right, there's no bayatman. Why? Kevin de lo yadan de ika sham chametz.
That you don't know that it is there.
That there is chametz there. The simple implication of the Tosfos Minhag Peretz is you don't need to know the specific exact location of the chametz. It suffices to know de ika sham chametz, that there is chametz in your rishos. So again, Tosfos Minhag Peretz seems to have a slightly different formulation than Tosfos on the Daf, and seems to elaborate the second version of it, that as long as you have general awareness, general knowledge that there's chametz in your rishos, that's going to trigger the violation of Bayira by Yimatzeh. So that's Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. A second Mefarish, who seems to, again, adopt this version, this version of the idea, is the Chachma Shlomo, is the Marashal, in two different places. So if you turn to the Chachma Shlomo, again, on the bottom of the Marashal, and we're going to see that there are two different comments of the Chachma Shlomo, in which the Chachma Shlomo clearly adopts the Yediyah approach to Bayira Bayimatzeh. The first one, it's not 100% clear which version of Yediyah he takes, but the second Chachma Shlomo clearly takes a clear stand on which type of Yediyah is required. So the first Marshal is on Rashi, is on Vav Amud Aleph. We read this last time. Right, is in the context of Rashi and Vav Amud Aleph, Philip and Rosh Hashanah Nami. Right, so if you see the Chachma Shlomo starting with, remember this is where the Chachma Shlomo, right, the Marshal says, yes, the Pashas of Rashi and Vav Amud Aleph seems to be that the Re'iyah is Koveya, as we developed in the beginning of this year and last year, but the Chachma Shlomo says that doesn't make any sense, and appears to me, says the Marshal, that really Yediyah is Koveya. So again, we'll just see by Nira Be'enai, this is in on Rashi, this is Chachma Shlomo Vav Amud Aleph, Tir Maskel Rashi, Tir Maskel Daito Lachzor. Like a couple lines in, it says by Nira Be'enai. You don't see it? Benny, do you see it? This is by Nira Be'enai, do you have, you have those rather. This is by Nira Be'enai Lefarish. It's in the bottom, the Chachma Shlomo.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Nira Be'enai, Derek Kiri.
Stop there, right? So the Marshal says, Iladavka's Rashi, and says, don't take Rashi kapashas that the Re'iyah is Koveya, because it appears to me, Demairi Besafik Shlo Yada Bevadai Shlo Chametz Bebeso. It must be a case where the only reason why you don't violate in Rashi's case, it must be because you don't know, you don't have Yediyah that there is Chametz in your Rishos. Right, v'chein isa b'Yerushalmi, and the same thing as in the Yerushalmi, and one more line, Mishum Hachi,
ino over ala Misha Hayidia.
And therefore, stop there, right, ino over ela Mishas Hayidia. So Marshal clearly states that you only violate by Rabbi Matzeh, Mishas Yediyah, the time that you are aware of Chametz, moving forward. So while this Chachma Shlomo clearly adopts the Yediyah approach, he says it as clear as day, from here it's still not clear which type of Yediyah is needed. Do you need Yediyah of the specific location? Or does Yediyah of the general existence of Chametz in your Rishus, does that suffice? I'll take your question in a second. But everyone, while I take their Yuda and Daniel's questions, everyone turn to the Chachma Shlomo on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So again, this is going to be the Chachma Shlomo who is commenting on the Tosis that we just pointed out. The Tosfos on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Chachma Shlomo is going to argue on Tosfos. So everyone can turn to, again, Chachma Shlomo on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, right? I think one of the first Chachma Shlomos, probably the third Chachma Shlomo in the second parak. It says, Be'emtza Diburo Lo Avar Bebal Yira. If everyone just turn there, and while everyone's turning there, I'll take a couple questions. Daniel?
Is he reinterpreting Rashi's Shita, or is he saying this particular Rashi is not L'Shikosu?
I think he's reinterpreting Rashi's Shita. He's saying, Vanir Be'ina, that the Pshat and Rashi must be. So seems be like similar, he's making an Okimto.
There should be similar Homoshoma to the other Rashi,
no? Yeah.
Is there?
not.
Oh, there is one here.
Chafalov. He's this one's on Tosos. I don't think he's on Rashi.
No, it's on.
Yeah. This one's on Rashi. This one's on Tosos, I believe. Yeah, this one's on Tosos. Does he comment on the other one? No. He comments on the other one, but for a different point, the chilek between Bayera and Bayamatze. Oh, wow. That's on the Marmikomos.
But that could be like, I mean, like, Bayera low over. Like.
We'll get back to that. That's on. And hey, we'll get to that. It's very important for the chilek between Bayera and Bayamatze. That's very important. In Echonami? I don't know. Yura? Correct. Correct. Yeah, and that's going to align with the next Chachma Shlomo. So then when he positively formulates it in terms of Elam Yishas Yediya, because in that case you can say he doesn't even know that there's Chametz in his Rishos. But the question is, but positively, so that means he has no knowledge of anything. Question is, in order to violate, what do you need? So that's what I'm saying. And in the positive, he only says, you're only over when you have Shas Yediya. But he's not so clear. You're right. In retrospect, once you see the Chachma Shalom Chaf Aleph, you can interpret. That's why, based on that Chachma Shalom Vav Amin Aleph, I wouldn't be Medayeg alone. It's not Mukhruch. But I think what is Mukhruch is the Chachma Shalom and Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph. Remember, it's very important. This Marshal is coming up against Tosos. Remember, Tosos said, what type of Yediya does Tosos require in Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph? Where it is. Exactly. So says the Chachma Shlomo on that Tosis, and he's going to argue on Tosis. And says, you don't need that specific idea. So let's read this inside. Benjamin, do you have it? You see Perish? Meaning, it goes along with the Dior Mas, right? Lo Aver Bayera, right? The only time you're not going to violate Bayera is when, right, Davka Besafik Chametz, when you don't know that there's Chametz there.
Ki Hasam V'Kein Chachat Lo Yudinam.
E mitzna. Right? The only time there's not going to be a violation is like the case in the Gemara and Chaf Aleph, where you don't even know that there is chametz in the Rishus, because it could be that the Chaya ate all the chametz. So in that case, where you don't know at all whether there is even chametz in the Rishus, that's where there's not going to be a violation. Continue one more line. But if you for sure know that there's chametz there, I would add, in light of what he's arguing on in Tosos, even if you don't know Hichanu, even if you don't know where it is, as long as you know Bivad that there's Chametz in your Rishus, you're going to violate Bayera Bayimatze. So the Marshal, I think very clearly, is arguing on Tosos and say, no, the type of Yediya, you're right, Tosos, that Yediya is Koveya, but you're wrong, Tosos, in terms of the type of Yediya that's Koveya. Tosos requires specific Yediya of a specific location of the Chametz, but the Marshal says, no, as long as you know that there's chametz in your rishus, that's going to suffice to violate Bayera Bayimatze, even if you don't know exactly where it is. Was there a hand up before? Oh, okay. So far within this tzad that it's the general yediyah of chametz pirushus, so we've had Tosef Beinu Peretz, had the Marshal in these two different places, and now, last thing which we'll probably hold off mostly till tomorrow night, which is the Rush, drumroll, as interpreted by a number of the Mefarshim. The Magen Avraham, the Bach, and the Taz. We'll stop in just a moment. Basically, the Magen Avraham, the Bach, and the Taz all reinterpret the Rush against, which we suggested yesterday was the Pashas, that the Rush adopted the objective approach. They're all going to interpret the Rush as saying that you need Yediya of the general variety, that as long as you know that there is chametz in your shush, that's going to suffice. We'll stop here, just mincha, and we'll pick up tomorrow night.